Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And of course, you can be a part of the program. We do appreciate all of our Canucks Central listeners. If you are listening live, 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome details at DunbarLumber.com. The Canucks with their most comprehensive victory of the season last night over the Anaheim Ducks. And there was a lot of, hey, Canucks put their full game together last night, which was nice. And also a lot of people I saw coming away from the game being like, whew, Anaheim, not that good.
Yeah, that rebuild in Anaheim is still very much a work in progress.
I know people have started to come along this train, but I'd like to say that a few of us here at Sportsnet 650, mostly Sat, have been on the rebuilds are overrated train.
Well, I mean, like, I understand rebuilds. I'm not against you rebuilding when you don't have another choice. But this idea that a rebuild is a short endeavor that only takes a handful of years at most, it can and usually takes the better part of a decade.
Yeah.
And that's what the Ducks are going through right now.
Like a real tear it down to the studs, scorched earth kind of rebuild?
Takes time. Just be, when people ask for it, understand it's going to take up to a decade.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
not more.
Like look,
that's
look at Buffalo. Look at Anaheim. San Jose is in for the long haul. It's pretty grim for some of those teams.
Yeah.
And it's not getting any nicer anytime soon. But they do live in SoCal. All right. It's time for the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Ah! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, the Open, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The Canucks were practicing at Crypto.com Arena ahead of their first meeting with the LA Kings. Today, we'll get into some of the practice notes in just a moment, but the big note from last night with three assists, Quinn Hughes notched his 300th assist of his career and gets there in 376 games, which is the third fastest in NHL history, only behind Bobby Orr and Brian Leetch. Paul Coffey did it in 377 games, so Quinn Hughes on the podium for fastest defenseman to 300 assists. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's one of those stats that doesn't really make sense when you hear it, when you speak it out loud, knowing what the NHL has been, not in the era of the 80s.
Yeah.
You know? And for a player to do it in today's day and age is incredibly remarkable for Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, and there's another player playing at the same time who's had fewer games who might do it faster than him, and then that's Cale Makar, who has 268 assists in 328 games, so we'll see what he does over the course of this season. But what you're seeing here is Quinn Hughes, one of the best offensive defensemen in NHL history.
Yes.
Cale Makar, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have not seen players that are this good offensively as defensemen since Leetch and Bobby Orr. That's just a fact. You see by the numbers, right? Are they the same caliber as far as, you know, winning multiple championships? You look at a guy like Cale Makar, right, has won the Norris Trophy, has won the Conn Smythe, has won the Calder, has won the Stanley Cup. Like, you know, he might be the best, right?
Yeah,
like,
Cale Makar's got a pretty ridiculous resume for a guy that's as young as he is.
Yeah, and he's played fewer games, again, than Quinn Hughes. But what you're seeing from Quinn, the guy who won the Norris last year, is something you haven't seen in a long time. And it's amazing that there are two guys doing it at the same time, and one being Cale Makar. And as good as Quinn has been, I think I keep going back to something he told us when we sat down with him in Penticton, and he was almost defiant about it.
Yeah.
I want to play with Filip Hronek.
Yeah.
Don't break what's not broken.
Mm-hmm.
He was adamant that he did not want his D partner to be different this season.
Yeah, it was very obvious when we were in Penticton, and you posed the question, the idea of playing with another partner, and Quinn was like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, it's like, no, no, I'm not having it.
No, I'm good. I think me and Phil were pretty good last year, so we're going to be like, I want to play with Phil.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, you know, that, and this is on the heels of the coach kind of throwing out you know, the idea of maybe we separate them a little bit.
Yeah.
And Quinn's like, no. But you saw from Quinn last year, he had been terrific up until last year, right? He was terrific. He was already, you know, breaking records, on pace to do things that very few players have done in NHL history. But he's been supercharged since he was put alongside Filip Hronek.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Cale Makar having Devon Toews to play alongside, and you see what that's brought out of him. So I think there are very similar parallels here. But the peak of Quinn Hughes has been next to Filip Hronek, and the fact that these two guys have been one of the most, if not the most dominant D pair so far in the league, is a huge, huge boon for this team that up until the first 11 games hasn't played its best hockey.
Yeah.
You're right. Comprehensive game against Anaheim, you know, obviously not the best team, but still a good game, and some signs of improvement that hopefully carry over against better teams like the Kings on Thursday. But the reason the Canucks have been able to pick up 15 points in 11 games is because they have one of the best, if not the best, D pairs in the league right now.
Hughes and Hronek together on the ice, controlling 64% of the shot share, 9 goals for, 2 against. Last season, you know, what did they go the first 6 weeks, maybe 2 months of the year, being on the ice without giving up a goal against at 5-on-5? It was some ridiculous number, and took them so long to be on the ice for a goal against. And it was maybe one of the singular biggest reasons the Canucks had such a big breakout, because you put those two on the ice together and it's like, all right, well, we're winning these minutes.
Yeah.
We'll just figure out what else we have to do to win the game now.
So given the minutes the Canucks, these guys play, so far, Quinn Hughes has been on the ice for 4 goals against, 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Filip Hronek, 3 goals against, 5-on-5. Their differentials, +9, both players.
Yeah.
5-on-5.
Yep.
And if you look at the rates, they're amongst the best rates on the team as well. Because you look at the raw totals, but they're playing massive minutes here, right? So when we start looking closer to that, the Canucks, those two guys have been not only their best offensive defensemen, but also their best defensive defensemen so far this season. They're both allowing about a goal against as a pair, about a goal against every 60 minutes.
Yeah.
So essentially every 3 games or 2.5 games, these guys allow a goal 5-on-5. And they're playing the biggest, heaviest minutes on the team.
Yeah. If you look at some of the numbers of other D pairs in the league and how good they are, well, Goss, Despair, and Walker in Carolina have the best expected goals percentage in the league per money puck. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they play really sheltered minutes as Carolina's third pair. And then the next two on that list are Hughes, Hronek, Miller, and Fox. So, you know, yeah, Keandre Miller and Adam Fox, really good D pair. And New York has finally put their two best defensemen together, and it's working wonders for the New York Rangers, much like it has for the Vancouver Canucks. So, Hughes, there is an obvious, Quinn Hughes is incredibly talented. He would have incredible success no matter who you play him with, to a certain extent. Mm. But for all the talk of, well, Hronek's only got this many assists and he hasn't really been producing much since the second half of last year, now he's got the big contract, he needs to produce a little bit more. How much of Hronek's value to the Vancouver Canucks is, I help Quinn Hughes reach his ceiling? Like, how much of Hronek's value to Vancouver is just simply helping Quinn Hughes be as good as Quinn Hughes is?
So far this year, we've seen more of that. And I think that Hronek can still shoot the puck more. And as good as Quinn has been, I do think there is a critique that perhaps at times he's tried to do too much.
Yeah.
And part of it is, like we mentioned, considering how, I wouldn't say poorly, right? Now, Pettersson obviously hasn't been at the level he wants to be. You can mention his poor 5 points,
yes,
in 11 games, considering all the things that we know about his game and where it's been going back to last year in the playoffs. I wouldn't say JT's been poor, but he hasn't been great. So far this year, Elias Pettersson,
yep,
Brock Besser,
yep,
JT Miller, and Filip Hronek are shooting the puck less than last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there is
pretty much everybody is shooting the puck less,
more
other
less
than Quinn Hughes. Yeah.
And who's shooting the puck even more, right? And it's not that Quinn is shooting the puck so much, the other guys aren't getting shots. I think he's taking it upon himself to impose his will in the game more, because there are fewer guys on the team doing that or capable of doing that at the moment. So he's really pushing forward. So at times when you're doing that, you are going to cross into hero puck a bit too much. But that comes out of ambition. That comes out of trying to lift your team up. And I'll take that any day, right? But to your point about Filip Hronek, so far this year defensively, he's been a stud playing alongside Quinn. And oftentimes, he's been the guy who's been the safety valve. There's been a couple of mistakes. He's been caught up ice. It happens because they do take their chances from time to time. But I think what he's done to facilitate Quinn Hughes being as dominated as he's been has been an under-talked about topic so far this season, because we obsess over points and production, and for a guy making north of $7 million on an 8-year contract, got a huge extension, you want a bottom line, you want more than what the 3-4 points he has or whatever, right? But I think the way he's played and what value he's brought has been completely worth it so far, and whenever that production comes along, you'll see even more impact.
Do you know who the last player to win the Hart Trophy and Stanley Cup in the same season was? It hasn't happened often. It's only happened 24 times.
24 times.
So NHL history.
Is it longer than a decade ago? Because I can't think of one in the past decade.
Yes, it is longer than a decade ago.
When is it?
We are in the early 2000s. There's two in the early 2000s, but the most recent one...
Was it a Florida Cup champion?
It was with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
In 2004 with Martin Saint-Louis. So, Quinn Hughes is playing at a Hart Trophy level right now. Like, anybody who's watching Quinn Hughes, forget the 300 assists in 376 games, an incredible career achievement, and an incredibly fast amount of time. But this year, Quinn Hughes has played at a Hart Trophy level because of all the reasons you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
His teammates aren't playing up to their best level just yet.
Yeah.
Whether it's injuries are hampering them for both Miller and Pettersson, whatever the situation is, Quinn Hughes has taken it upon himself to be more than he ever has been to this team, which is crazy because he's already been an incredibly large part of this team, but he's taken it upon himself to be at another level. And he continues to grow his game, continues to find different areas that he can exploit to bring his game to an even higher level, even after he won the Norris Trophy last year. All that being said, you don't, like, yes, you want Quinn Hughes playing at a Hart Trophy level, but part of winning the Hart Trophy is... And I don't agree with it all the time, but the way voters vote on it, it seems to be like, well, there's nobody else with that player. There's an element of this player had to drag his team into the play. Think of Taylor Hall winning the Hart Trophy a few years ago. I know McDavid and Matthews have won it, but, you know, those guys haven't won cups because at times they have to do too much on their own for their team to have success. I want Quinn Hughes to have his wingman. I think the best version of the Vancouver Canucks, it's very obvious, is when you have Elias Pettersson putting the team on his shoulders for a game here and there and winning it for them. JT Miller having big nights on the power play and helping the Canucks offense get going. There's those elements that allow this team to hit its ceiling. So while, yes, Quinn Hughes is playing at a Hart Trophy level, we don't usually see defensemen have this kind of an impact on the ice, there is still an element of me that's like, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Quinn Hughes. I still need to see a lot more from the rest of this team.
Absolutely. But I don't necessarily think the correlation between Hart Trophy and
it's been 20 years since it's happened in the same year,
but
Zach.
How many teams have won a President's
Trophy? Maybe it's a flaw in the voting process, but it's a reality of the situation of winning the Hart Trophy.
Sure, but how many of those teams, how many Hart Trophy winners have won a President's Trophy? I can think of a couple.
Yeah.
Ovechkin, I think. Was it Henrik Sedin?
Yeah.
Or Daniel Sedin? Yeah, Henrik Sedin.
Henrik Sedin in 2011. Or 2010, sorry.
Well, the Canucks didn't win the President's Trophy that year, but the following year, they didn't get the, I think it was somebody else won.
Corey Perry won it over Daniel Sedin.
Daniel Sedin got the Lester B. Pearson Award, but he was the runner-up, almost won it, right? I think Kucherov in 2018, 2019, when Tampa lost, didn't they lose in the first round that year?
Yeah.
Or something, and they won the President's Trophy. So it's like...
The 130-point year.
Yeah.
Columbus swept them in the first round.
I get it. To some extent, you can look at it and say, yeah, there is, if you're a Hart Trophy finalist, maybe your team isn't as good, but there's also evidence of having a really good team and you just not coming through with it.
Yes.
I get what you mean. But I do agree with your overarching point, though, that right now, the rest of the guys have to get going more. Now, it's maybe a little bit unfair because last night, Pettersson shot the puck 6 times.
Yeah, it was nine shot attempts total, all situations.
But had 6 shots on goal, but he's still way off the pace of where he was last year. But as we mentioned, Besser, too, who scored 6 goals so far, he's been tremendous for the team. He's not shooting the puck as much either.
Yeah.
So they haven't imposed their will on teams as much as they've had in the past.
The idea that, Quinn Hughes is shooting too much and it's taking away from some of his teammates, like, I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg are both among the league leaders in shots on goal. So, last I checked, they do play for the same team. Even though Nashville's not having success, just because your number one defenseman is taking so many shots doesn't mean your forwards aren't taking shots either. This is just, it's sort of a continuation of an issue we saw with the Canucks last year, and that is, as a team, they don't shoot the puck a ton.
Yeah.
They maybe, to a fault, look for more quality than quantity with the shots that they are taking, whereas Quinn is just like, you know what, I'm going to find a shot and I'm going to take it. And I appreciate that about him because it led to, he had 3 assists, but 2 of them were tipped goals. So it's, it really is part of Quinn Hughes' game now that he is going to shoot the puck a ton. It's going to create havoc. It's going to create rebound chances. It's going to create tipped opportunities for the Vancouver Canucks. It's up to the forwards, and it's up to the Canucks as a team when Quinn Hughes and Filip Hronek aren't on the ice to be able to drive play a little bit better than they have.
Yeah, and it's I also think sometimes, especially early this season, they've got 15 points in 11 games.
Yeah.
They've gone off to a fine start. They played a pretty good game last year, but there's always elements that you have to fix. And we're still so early in the year as far as seeing the finished product, and it's going to take some time. And I know that's kind of a boring answer, but I'm with you. We haven't seen their best players play their best. Although, again, there's been some good signs the last couple of games.
Raymond says, hey Dan, how the voting works, you don't need to worry about Quinn winning the Hart Trophy. alluding to the fact that, yes, the Eastern vote is not going to vote for one Quinn Hughes.
Yeah. And I see this a lot. The Canucks have only beaten one playoff team. Yeah, but that's all you can do is play the games you've played, and you play a lot of non-playoff teams. You have to win those games. These are the games you have to win, and you are going to win against playoff teams. That'll happen. I just think it's one of those things is early in the year, people pointing to, you haven't beaten enough playoff teams yet. I say, let the season breathe a little bit and we'll see. And you still have to beat the teams you're beating.
They've had a pretty soft schedule to start the season. Nobody's going to dispute you on that. But, they've done a pretty good job of collecting points while not playing at their best. I remember a time when the cliche used to be, hey, part of being a good team is winning when you aren't at your best, when you don't have your A game, when you don't have your fastball. And the Canucks haven't had their fastball for much of this season, but they've still been able to collect points, which, early in the season, you don't want to have that be an issue.
Yeah.
Hello, Nashville Predators.
Yeah, and as much as, for all the talk about all these teams being really poor, they lost against Carolina, they lost against the Devils, they beat the Florida Panthers, they played the Tampa Bay Lightning, so they've played some tougher teams as well. They just, haven't gotten as many results as you wanted, and they lost to Calgary early, but Calgary was on a red-hot streak early in the season, and they shouldn't have lost that game anyways, being up 3-0. So, yes, a mixed bag, but yeah, we'll see how it goes here.
I'm going to be like the people that were years ago saying Alex Ovechkin could potentially break Gretzky's record, and people were like, nah, it's not going to happen. He's going to have to play till he's like 47 years old. And here he is, just 35 goals away. Quinn Hughes, and you know what? By extension, you mentioned Cale Makar and the kind of pace that he's on, although sometimes you have to remind yourself Cale Makar is older than Quinn Hughes. He's 26 already. Quinn Hughes still 25. There's less than a year difference between them, but it is still kind of funny when you look at the ages of them both, and Cale has already turned 26. But there are only 3 defensemen in NHL history. Sorry, 2 defensemen in NHL history that have reached over 1,000 assists for their career. Now, Quinn's going to have to keep up an incredible pace for another 700 games to be able to do that or get close to that, 800 games, 900 games even. But he is on pace to potentially have 1,000 assists in his NHL career if he were to keep up some of the ridiculous numbers that he's been able to put up, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, and
if you think about
somebody was texting in too, say, you know, staying healthy is a skill. I don't disagree with that. And Quinn, knock on wood, has been remarkably healthy. And that's...
Well, he doesn't get hit.
No. Well,
it's hard to hit him.
It's hard to hit him. But he's also...
He did get hit in the playoffs quite a bit.
He did. And yeah. I mean, that's when he got banged up a little bit. So, but, you know, he has been durable. He's had a couple of... He had the one foot injury. He's had a couple of things. But generally speaking, he's been very healthy.
Yeah, he's changed his ways quite a bit. Mentioned some groin injuries that would pop up in training camp through the early parts of his career. He's worked through those things. And now Quinn Hughes easily... one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League and on pace to have one of the best careers offensively of any defenseman in NHL history. All right, let's get to the Canucks Central Roundup from practice today at Crypto.com Arena. No changes to the expected lineup for the Vancouver Canucks as they get ready to take on the LA Kings. Dakota Joshua will not play tomorrow. He did not practice today with the team after coach said yesterday was a scheduled day off. Ian McIntyre, our guy iMac, followed up and asked, has there been a setback for Dakota Joshua? And the coach responded that they are just taking a cautious approach to ramping Dakota Joshua up.
Yeah, I mean, it is curious. I mean, it could be one of those things because he's being ramped up, he's practicing harder, that there is a higher level of soreness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, just give it a couple days before going out and playing and maybe don't rush it in. But I don't think there's anything we should be concerned about as far as his return being farther away than we anticipated. So if doesn't play here, I'd expect he plays pretty soon on the homestand.
Derek Forbert, though, a little bit less optimistic on that front. Derek Forbert is going to be out week to week with the injury he suffered at practice the other day. So
yeah, and that one may be a bit... I mean, week to week might be optimistic from what I've heard about that, too, that it may not just be 1 or 2 weeks. It may be, you know...
Might be a while.
Weeks, yeah. So we'll see how long that is. But it's not going to keep him out the rest of the season, of course.
All good news, though, for Thatcher Demko. All three goalies were on the ice for practice. Demko worked some solo drills, was on the ice prior to the practice beginning. So I guess the goalie equivalent of being in a non-contact jersey or something like it. But Demko had not been a part of Canucks practice skates necessarily in the past, so it just feels like, as we talked about yesterday, they continue to ramp Demko up towards getting into a full practice.
Yeah, so he's not at that full practice level yet, and that's going to be the next kind of stage to keep an eye on. But when you hear that he's still a few weeks away,
yeah,
that means, you know, we're obviously not at the point yet where a return is imminent.
And Kevin Lankinen is keeping up an incredible level of play so that you don't have to worry too much about Demko returning just yet. 8-3-3, that's the record for the LA Kings. They're on tap for tomorrow night. Impressive 5-1 win over the Wild last night. Brant Clark is, he's making the life without Drew Doughty a little bit easier for the LA Kings. So they're off to a good start. Still one of the better teams at controlling the shot share. And Jim Hiller's got them playing some pretty sound defensive hockey early on this season. And finally, to close out the Canucks Central Roundup, Kiefer Sherwood is on pace for 22 goals and 52 points, Sat.
It's
well short of the 40 goals you predicted him to have.
Yeah, I know.
It's still pretty impressive.
I thought it was 60.
I thought it was 70, maybe.
It changes all the time. Mm. It's a floating number.
It's a floating number.
It gets higher and higher.
I think you were pretty conservative saying 40, though.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And to be honest, I'm pretty disappointed in Kiefer for letting me down so far. You know, 3 goals through 11 games is not going to get you to 40 goals. So I'm not as impressed as you guys are. I'm sorry. No, we jest.
Kidding aside, like, man,
he's been terrific, man.
So good.
Like, he's all over the ice. And it's one of those things, like, sometimes you see a guy skates really hard. He's physical. He throws the body. And it's like, fans love him. But then you watch his game, you're like...
There's purpose.
Yes. But then you watch some guys, you're like, yeah, look, he put himself out of position. Like, mm-hmm. That's actually a selfish hit because now you can't back check. And, you know, you're chasing something that you shouldn't be doing. You're just being busy. And I hate busy players because I think busy players sometimes, if you're not paying attention, you're like, oh, this guy's really good. I'm like, no, this guy's terrible. Look what he's doing. But he's not like that. Like, so he's in your face. He skates as hard as he can every single shift. He's good defensively. And smart offensively, too. It's not just about having the shot. Like, you see how he reads off his teammates. And on the goal... it was a terrific play by Danton Heinen along the board to get the puck over to him. But you see how fast he skates through neutral zone, found Brännström, and then he skates right to the right spot. He drops it off for him, and he just claps it home. But he just has instincts as well. Like, there is real upside in his game. And I'm not saying he's going to be a point per game or 50, 60 point guy even. But he went from being a fourth liner, and we talked about the upside here is, can he be more as in a middle six type of forward, a guy that can score 14, 15 goals a season, maybe slightly more, and take a step. We spoke to Yannick about how he went from being a guy who was a fourth line energy guy to a reliable, dependable middle six type of third, second line forward who played a really important role for you. And that's what Kiefer Sherwood looks to be doing so far this season.
It's been a really good start for Kiefer Sherwood. Arguably the best start of any of the new Canucks forwards. Not arguably, he has been the best of the new Canucks forwards, even with DeBrusque coming along and Heinen even having three goals now as well. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah coming up. The star goalie of the Can Pro-Am tourney over the weekend, Kevin Woodley, is going to join us. His take on Lankinen, where the Canucks are at through these 11 games, and more coming up next on Sportsnet 650.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drans. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.